This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's Beat Morning Show with Omboy Mboro.
Every once in a while, we have to talk about some issues that affect all of us.
Featuring the Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Bishop David Oginde.
There are things that one can be able to do in order for them to be able to get to where they want to go.
The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
Back to the Leadership Forum, and we are talking about leaders and followers. Today, picking up on transformational leadership in the context of leadership, of management, and of leaders. I think because we are not saying versus leaders, then I would just say it like that. Managers and leaders. Okay. Managers and leaders. All right. So leadership by managers and leadership by leaders. Does that sound like what you're saying?
No.
No? Say it then in
managers
your own way.
Managers manage, leaders lead.
The two are not leaders. One is a leader, the other is a manager.
Yes.
Then it's managers and leaders.
They are the two sides of the same coin. If you can think of that. A coin has two sides.
Yes.
So one side is manager.
Yes.
The other side is leader.
But the
so
coin
you can say, I only
coin.
Like this side.
But the coin is a coin. It's money. I was trying to see what is the link between a manager and a leader? Where do they share? It is that they both offer leadership, but one in managerial and one
okay,
in...
Okay, we can put it that way. I have to think of
just think
conceptually.
More.
But for now, let's accept your model.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's go on. Transformational.
Transformational leadership. The reason we are going back to this from where we have been, and we'll just be very brief on it.
All right.
Is because of that word transform. Because I think one of the challenges we face as leaders, because this is a leadership forum, one of the challenges we face as leaders is to remain, you have a leadership role or responsibility, but you stay at management, so you remain a manager. So when a person who is supposed to be providing leadership stays as a manager, the organization gets stunted. Mm-hmm. It cannot grow, because management cannot grow an organization. It is leadership that grows an organization. So if you have a very good management system, at best you will stay where you are. It is leadership that takes the organization to the next level.
Not management.
Not management. Management brings about efficiency in how things are done. And that is critical, that is important. But it's only leadership that takes the organization to the next level. So sometimes what mistakes we make is to see a very good manager and promote them into leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't transition into being a leader, then the organization gets stunted. It will not go far. Because all they can do is to maintain things as they are. When you come to an AGM or an annual report,
mm-hmm,
or a manager's meeting, and you hear words like, our results are just the way they were last year, or our systems have remained quite Consistent.
Quite consistent.
Yes. You know you are in trouble.
Really?
Yes.
I thought consistent is a good word.
Consistent is a good word at a lower level, not at a higher level. That is a word for managers.
Not for leaders.
Not for leaders.
Okay.
Because leaders are consistently
transforming. All right.
Breaking into new ground, getting into new territory, doing things, charting new waters. That is a leader. Managers are making sure that everything remains consistent, because managers maintain standards, and that is their responsibility, to make sure that everything is compliant according to standard, according to agreed policies and guidelines. That is the role of a manager within an organization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A leader is to break those systems and to get into new territories. So that is why that word transform is so important. And that's why also transformational leadership has become such a powerful model in the leadership sector. Now, many of our listeners would be aware that transformational leadership has been found to have four dimensions. And I'll just go through them quickly, because in each of these four dimensions, there's a transformation that is taking place, or there's a transformation that is supposed to take place. The first one, they all start with I.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is an idealized influence. Idealized influence is what you would call ordinarily as charisma. This has to do with the leader himself or herself. The leader, the way they conduct themselves, the way they do things, the way they tackle issues, the way they respond to situations is so admirable that it brings a transformative perspective in the followers.
Mm.
People want to be like the leader.
Okay.
So that is the transformation that is. When you look at your leader, how they conduct themselves, how they do things, how they talk, how do they handle issues, you say, I also want to be like him, or I want to be like her. So that admiration creates a transformation in the followers.
Yes.
That's why it is called influence, because there is no direct action that you are taking on the people.
You're just being yourself.
You're just being yourself.
But yourself is so admirable.
Yourself is so admirable that something is happening within the people.
Yeah.
They're feeling like, I want to be like that person. You know, I want to be like my leader. They begin to talk like you. They begin to do things like you.
Yeah.
Because you are so admirable. That is bringing transformation.
Wow.
In the people.
Wow.
So that's why it's called an idealized influence, because you become like the ideal.
Wow.
People want to be like you. That is the transformation that takes place at that level, in idealized influence. So you'll find that these people, they are people of deep conviction. They take stance on issues. They appeal to followers at an emotional level. You know, like I said, you don't necessarily do anything to your people. It is just being who you are makes people want to be like you. That is a characteristic of a transformational leader, because there is no way, therefore, you can be in an organization for a period of time and people do not become like you. They will move towards being like Him.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that we can, I'm trying to understand all dimensions of this, so that at some point we can say, you must have sat under so and so, the way you do things, the way you the way you reason things, you must have sat under, they said, Bishop Oginde. Is that so? Is that part of it?
Yes, that is part of it. Yes, where somebody is looking at you and saying, the way you act, you know. In fact, let me give a good example.
Mm-hmm.
In Antioch.
Yes, exactly.
In Antioch.
Uh-huh.
They looked at these believers and they came to the conclusion that these people must be followers
of
Christ.
Yes. Oh.
You know, then they call them Christians. You know?
Whether happily or unhappily.
Unhappily. But they just concluded this must be Christians.
Yes.
You know, they are Christ-like.
Yeah.
Because Christ Himself did things in certain ways, talked in certain ways, conducted Himself in certain ways that was so influential that now when people see it in others, they say, you must be a Christian.
Yes.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
On the negative, if we put it, mm-hmm. you say you have worked in an organization for a long time, and then you transfer to another organization, and as people look at you and how you do things and say, I thought you said you worked in such and such an organization. Say yes.
Yeah.
How could you have worked under so and so
and not
and still be this disorganized?
Yeah, for you know? Example.
Yeah. Because they expect that the way we have seen so-and-so conduct himself and do his things and so on, anybody who has served under them must obviously also be like them.
Wow.
So that is what they're expecting. So when they see the contrary, they are so disappointed. How could you have served under so-and-so? How long were you there, by the way? You know? They get disappointed that you are not like so-and-so because that influence should have rubbed on you.
Wow.
That's a good way of putting it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that is idealized influence.
Idealized influence.
Which is...
Charisma.
Charisma.
The way a leader carries himself.
Himself.
Or herself.
Or herself.
All right.
It has a passive, it's a passive influence.
Mm.
It's a passive transformation.
Okay.
But it's transformation all the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because people begin to now do things the way they do.
Okay.
The next one is called inspirational motivation. Inspirational motivation is actually now the same thing, but now active. The other one was passive. Just the leader being himself influences people to conduct themselves in certain ways.
Mm.
But now inspirational motivation is where the leader now goes out of his way to inspire people to act or do things in the way he does or even beyond. So they articulate ideas in such a way that when people hear, they get inspired. Like Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem and he tells the people of what the situation they are in and what they need to do. But he puts it in such an inspiring way that immediately people just say, let's rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no argument. Everybody was in unison, they say, this is doable.
Mm.
Let's do it.
Mm.
So that again brings a transformation in the lives of people. It brings a change in the way people look at things. So a person who may have been stuck in one mode of doing things sees a new way of doing things.
Because of the leader's words.
Exactly.
Yes.
So you come in and inspire and challenge people to see things differently.
So actively.
Actively. This is now actively. Now this is not passive. The first one was a passive influence.
Mm-hmm.
This one is now an active influence, where you come in and challenge people, inspire people. You get people to higher standards. You create an optimism.
Mm.
People who are so downtrodden, like David picked these people who are in debt and discouraged and what was the other D,
mm.
you know, and inspires them into mighty warriors.
Yes.
The next time you meet them,
they're mighty warriors.
They're mighty men of David.
Yeah.
And you read the kinds of things that they were able to do. And you say, this is a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Totally transformed. No.
Wow.
That is what a transformational leader does. The third one is intellectual stimulation. Intellectual stimulation.
I want to see the difference between that and the second one. So
it builds on the second one.
Mm.
Intellectual stimulation is to do with creativity, to do with innovation, to do with looking at things. You remember we said that a leader does not get satisfied with the status quo.
Yes.
A leader does not settle down to doing things the way you have always done it.
Yes.
A leader is always thinking of how we can do things in
better.
A different way. So when a
not just different, better.
Better, of course. Different means better here.
Okay.
Yes. It can't be different, bad. It is different, better.
It can be different, different.
Yes.
Yes.
So when a transformational leader sits down with one of his followers,
mm.
And they are giving a report or an update of what they are doing and what is happening, the leader is listening at two levels. He's listening to the report that is being given,
mm-hmm.
but he's also listening to their spirit and their heart, thinking of how can we do this better, you know? And then challenging the person to say, is there another way we can do this? Have you thought about this and that and the other? How about if you tried this? And in many cases, you want to get them to something that looks or sounds impossible, sounds difficult, but at the same time, exciting. That's why it is called stimulation.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you are stirring up within these people to go beyond what they thought they could do, you know, so that they can jump a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the intellectual stimulation. Here you are talking about thoughts and ideas that you're dealing with. The inspirational was more towards the heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is towards the mind.
This was the mind.
Yeah, I hear that.
So you want to stir up people to think.
Mm-hmm.
And think creatively, think innovatively,
mm-hmm.
so that they can do things at a higher level. That you will not therefore be satisfied,
yes,
with the report you are getting.
Yes.
You challenge, go and think about it. And they say, no, we have tried this, you know, this is how it works. No. Try another one.
And why is the leader doing this? Is it simply for the sake of getting new ways, of getting people to be more creative? Or is it because of maybe the vision? Which comes first in the mind of the leader as he's listening to this report? Are they thinking just about, there must be some more creative way about this? Or are they thinking about, if we could do it differently, we could get to where we are getting faster.
The vision is always the leader. So everything is being done within. So we are not changing for the sake of changing. But we are saying, can we get there faster?
It's not just change for the sake of change. No. I think that was my question.
Yes.
Thank you.
It is the vision. We have this vision. And vision is usually a very long distant thing.
Yes.
Is that in the horizon.
Yeah.
So how can we get there faster, more efficiently, mm-hmm. more effectively?
Mm-hmm.
That is what you are thinking about.
All right.
So it is not just change for the sake of change.
No.
And also, you remember the leader, when we talked a little earlier, has also the environment in mind.
Yes.
You have competitors.
We do.
Yes.
Yes.
So if a leader does not keep his eyes or her eyes open to what is happening in the environment, you may find that you have been left behind. You could actually have been at the front where your organization was the leader in the market, and you could settle down.
Yes.
And people will come from behind and overtake you.
Easy. Yes.
So, because you must also remember this, when we are in a competitive environment, people borrow your ideas if you are the leader. In terms of if you are the leader in the market as an organization.
They don't just borrow. They steal.
They steal.
Yes,
yes they steal
your ideas.
And people who steal your ideas, in most cases, they try to improve on them.
Yes.
The wise stealers.
Mm.
Yeah. The wise stealers, they don't just steal.
they also improve
on them.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly.
I know.
But that so slightly will overtake you.
I know. Mm.
So if you are the leader, for you to be to keep and remain ahead, you cannot relax. So you must therefore be thinking of new ways so that by the time these people come to where you are, you have moved ahead.
Yes.
So the leader must be aware of the environment. You may have been the leader, but some other organization have had a breakthrough idea because they have been thinking.
Yes.
And they just launched that breakthrough idea and you're out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for you to be remain in business, you must be constantly thinking. There's something we call learning organization.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to be a learning organization. So you learn what is happening in the environment, but you also create new ideas so that you lead, others follow.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Otherwise, you will be overtaken within no time.
What happens? How do I ask this question? Suppose, yes, I think I get a good way of asking. Supposing you as the leader, you can see all that. You can see your environment. You can see people seem to be having new ideas. You seem to be losing the cutting edge, really.
Mm-hmm.
But for all your thinking, you cannot think of something new.
I think
what
it's time
is the
to
issue?
Leave.
It is time to leave.
That is putting in a crude way.
But no.
If a leader has reached what we call ETC.
ETC.
End of thinking capacity.
Okay. It is the ETC then. They can't see it.
If a leader has reached that place, if it is true that they have actually reached that place, the thing is to change leadership.
All right. They will have to be very honest, though.
Honest leaders will say, I think my time has come to an end, and bring in a new person. Because if they stay longer, and we see this especially in Africa, it is very unfortunate.
Mm.
In Africa, we see it where leaders overstay.
Uh-huh.
And then they begin to destroy that which they have been building.
Okay.
So you find that an organization that was doing very well is now going downwards. You find that a nation that was doing very well is now going downwards. It happens at every level because a leader has reached the end of their thinking capacity.
So they cannot transform now.
They cannot transform the organization.
Or maybe then the transformation would have to take the shape of a transition of leadership.
Yes. You have to transit and bring in a new leader.
And that's still transformation.
It is still transformation. In fact, it is number four.
Really?
Yes.
We were on number three.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to number four.
It is number four.
Okay.
Yes. But just finalizing on what we are talking about there.
On intellectual stimulation?
Having said that, is it actually possible to reach ETC? You reach ETC by choice. A leader reaches ETC by choice.
Why do you say that?
I say that because the Bible says that God created us in His image.
Yes.
Part of the image of God in us is creativity. The power to create new ideas, to come up with new ideas and innovations. So the well of creativity and innovation is in God. Okay?
Yes.
And it never runs dry.
Yes.
So God then says, if anyone lacks wisdom,
let him ask.
Let him ask. That's why I say you reach at ETC by choice.
You're not asking.
Not because you actually have exhausted the reservoir. Because the reservoir, the aquifer, is deep. It's in God. So when a person is in God, they are praying, they are trusting God, they are reading, they are exploring. Because all these things are part of understanding. And so if you get to, what makes a person get to the ETC level is where they think they have arrived, you know, where you are so far ahead of other people that you settle, you know.
I know.
So you settle down and now you get to maintenance mode. You become a manager. And when you become a manager, be sure that you are going to be overtaken.
Be sure you're going to be overtaken. I remember something that happened in a race. I don't know, does it really fit? But as you said about when you're far ahead, I remember actually it's one of our own, and he was quite far ahead of the others, and then he decided to take some time and dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens. While you are dancing, others will come and they pass you. And by the way, there are many of us who dance. That's a good illustration. So now you are into partying and you are into, you know, all manner of entertainment things. People will come and overtake you.
Oh my God.
They will come and overtake you.
Actually, if I remember right, what happened is that in the dance... In the dance he was doing, he seemed to have crossed over to the next lane, someone else's lane. And so he was disqualified.
I don't remember that story, but it is tragic.
It was tragic. I felt like crying.
That is a good illustration. Good illustration. Because that is what we are talking about. Because if you get to that place where you settle down, you think you are so ahead. And I can tell you that is at individual level, just like you have given of the person who is running. But it is also at organizational level where you are so far ahead of others, you think now let's dance.
Wow.
And you dance into enemy's territory.
Oh, dear.
You are disqualified.
Oh, dear.
And I can give you examples even in churches where that has happened.
Of a dance that went so wrong.
Went all so wrong. And great, great leaders, great, great ministries just came tumbling down because they got to that place where they think we have arrived. We are the pace setters.
Wow.
You are ready to die. So that's, again, going back to our discussion, you reach ETC by choice.
Okay.
There are leaders who have led for years, and they still have this freshness. You talk to them and they still come up with these fresh ideas.
Mm.
In our prayer breakfast in Addis,
mm.
The patron for that gathering is Obasanjo, former president of Nigeria. He's now in his 80s, mid-80s,
mm-hmm.
still going strong. After I finish talking, he comes up to wrap up and kind of speaks into what I had spoken and brings such freshness into what had swam. I'm like, this old man has something.
You know?
So when I was talking to someone, I say, this Obasanjo man, he is always fresh. He's so you talk to him and he has new ideas and so on. And somebody told me, who has been to his office, he says, you go to President Obasanjo's office and all around him, he's surrounded by books.
Wow.
All the four walls are books.
And he is reading. He's not just keeping them.
He reads them. He reads them.
Amazing. Amazing.
You cannot be doing that and reach ETC.
All right.
No.
All right.
But if you have settled down, you no longer read, you no longer read your Bible, you no longer read books and magazines and keep up with what is going on around you, you will soon run out of ideas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people come to you and they can't glean any new thing. You know, your followers come and they're coming to you and to get an idea of what do we do next. And you are at sea. You would have no idea either. You say, sure, actually, even me, I can't think of anything.
Wow.
It's a terrible thing for a leader to say that. Because you should be on the cutting edge. You should be constantly drawing from the reservoir of God.
Okay.
Yes.
Amazing.
The last one is what you are asking.
Number four.
Mm-hmm. Individualized consideration.
Explain it.
Individualized consideration is the appreciation a leader has that every member of his or her team is an individual. So whereas he stimulates and challenges the group and the team, he also must come down to the individual and appreciate who they are and what they are good at and how to address their individual needs, not just at a group level. So the leader therefore acts as a mentor and a coach to this various individuals, listening to their needs, listening to their concerns, listening to where they are at, and are able to help them to be transformed into greater leaders. And we see this in Jesus, where he's able to, when he talks to Peter, he talks to Peter as an individual who he knows, you are the rock, you know. When he talks to John, when he talks to the sons of thunder, you know, he knows his people.
He does.
And so he addresses them as individuals. And that's how God deals with us also. God deals with us as individuals. He knows the count of the hair on our heads. He does not look at us as a big mass of people. And so he deals with us at that individual level. So a leader also needs to deal with the transformation of the individual. Of that one person, hearing them, listening to them, understanding them, appreciating them, challenging them, so that transformation is also taking place at that personal, individual level.
All right.
So it is called individualized consideration. So I make a due consideration for each person as an independent individual.
Mm.
So that is what then you put all that together is called transformational leadership. Because it brings this transformation. So if you compare that with now the manager is a maintainer, is making sure that things work in order. Amen.
Amen.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.